This meeting of the House Labor and Commerce Committee will come to order. The time is 4:18 p.m. on Friday, February 13th. Members present are Representative Carrick, Representative Colomb, Co-Chair Fields, and myself, Co-Chair Hall. We have a quorum. Please silence cell phones. We're asking that staff and members of the audience not approach the table. If you need to pass a note to committee members, please get the attention of my committee aide, Joan Wilkerson, and she will take care of it. I'd like to thank Andrew Magnuson, the Labor and Commerce Committee Secretary, and Zach Lawhorn from the Juno LIO for tech and teleconferencing support. We have one bill on the agenda today. That is HB 293, Genetic Counselor Licensing, by Co-Chair Fields. This is a second hearing for HB 293, Genetic Counselor Licensing, by Co-Chair Fields' office. We heard this bill on Monday, and we have one additional invited testifier today, along with public testimony. And it looks like we have Pam Vention, Executive Director of the Alaska State Medical Association, on the line. Ms. Vention, please correct me if I'm not pronouncing your last name correctly, and if that's the case, I apologize. But please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Yes, you did pronounce it correctly, and that's not always the case. My name is Pam Vention. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska State Medical Association. The Medical Association represents both physicians and physician assistants throughout Alaska. And the Medical Association supports House Bill 293 as beneficial to all Alaskans who need and use genetic counseling services. This is a critical service that needs to be provided by people with credentials, and licensing is the best way to establish that. It would also allow their services to be billed to insurance companies. So currently, genetic counselors work primarily in cancer care centers, and they do some neonatal and perinatal counseling. It is most appropriate to include licensing of genetic counselors under the state medical board, since they work most closely with physicians. In the past, the state medical board licensed paramedics before they were moved over to the Department of Health. So it would not be unusual for the state medical board to license a subgroup of professionals. So we urge your support of House Bill 293, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Vention. Does the committee have any questions for Ms. Vention? Representative Colomb?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Through the Chair, so Ms. Vention, this is Julie Colomb. So I was just looking through the bill at the scope of practice, just in my experience. There's been a lot of bills since I've been here around lots of disciplines like pharmacy and naturopaths. And the AMA always seems to have a concern around the scope of practice. And so I guess how do you feel this bill, is the scope of practice in this bill, you guys are comfortable with that? There's no issues with what they're allowed to do and how they're going to practice? Is that maybe because you're going to have oversight?
Yes, we don't have any concerns about scope of practice. Their scope is pretty well defined in their standards of practice, and they work so closely with physicians, we have no concerns.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for asking.
Thank you. We also have Director Sylvan Robb here as well from the Corporations, Businesses, and Professional Licensing Division. Are there additional questions from the committee? Either. Maybe for Ms. Vention. Not seeing any. Thank you, Ms. Vention, for your testimony. We appreciate your time. Representative,
thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you. Representative Carrick, did you have a question for the bill sponsor or Director Robb?
I think through the chair, it might be for Director Robb, and I apologize if I called you up here and I asked the same question the other day, but I still have a lot of heartburn over the idea of creating a board for a profession which currently has so few people practicing in Alaska, and I just want to... I did ask this on the record last time. Now I'm remembering. But I guess I'll ask it more broadly. You know, what is the division's perspective about working with boards that are all volunteer and for these smaller professions. And is that potentially a concern in terms of the division's role with that board with the current legislation?
Good afternoon. For the record, Sylvan Robb, Director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing, through the chair to Representative Carrick. Appreciate the broader question. Currently, we have 21 regulatory boards within the division. This is obviously proposed to be an advisory board. At the moment, we do not have any professions that have an advisory board. Obviously, the regulatory authority would rest with the medical board as the bill is currently structured. The smallest group of professionals that we have currently that has a board is the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives. There are about 38 licensees within that profession. Having a regulatory board for that small group of professionals has proven to be somewhat challenging just because we all know Alaska is a pretty small state, and then when you start getting into a fairly small profession, that gets to be challenging. But again, this is structured as an advisory board, and so some of the conflict of interest issues that we see arise with the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives wouldn't exist here because the board is advisory in nature.
Okay.
Follow-up?
I think it's for the bill sponsor. Doesn't the board in this, I'm just looking for it and I can't find it, doesn't the board in this legislation approve the licensure?
I think my staff is going to come up here and help with that.
Okay.
I didn't think it was discretionary. I thought it was based on a clear standard. But go ahead. Thanks, Ms. Anderson.
Thank you. For the record, Evan Anderson, staff to Rep. Fields, through the chair to Rep. Carrick. There's two different terms in here. There's the advisory council and the board. So with this bill, all licensing still goes through the state medical board, but the advisory council is tasked with helping essentially sort through all those materials. There's potentially hundreds of licensees for genetic counseling. And so in a quick discussion with one of our previous invited testifiers about this topic the other day, he mentioned that the advisory council would just serve to kind of help sift through all those applications and support the state medical board in the licensure process.
Okay, thank you. That helps clarify. And I apologize because I'm just coming back to this bill. So I guess I have a question then for Ms. Venchin since she's available.
Ms. Venchin?
Thank you. Through the chair, Ms. Venchin, is the state medical board, if there's potentially hundreds of new licenses coming in and genetic counseling for folks that are trying to get licensed from out of state, is that something the state medical board feels they have the capacity to take on?
Thank you, Representative Carrick, through the chair. I expect that a lot of that would be delegated with the guidance of the advisory council, would be delegated to a licensing examiner. And so currently, the licensing examiner and the executive administrator for the state medical board process all of those licenses, unless there are red flags of any kind on the application. So I don't expect that this would be a significant increase in workload for the state medical board.
Okay, thank you. That helps too.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Venchin. Are there additional questions from the committee? Representative Flom?
I had a question about the fiscal note. I don't know if Sylvan Robb can answer this. Thank you. So through the chair, so I see that the operating expenditures are matching a fund source, a DGF. So I'm assuming they're going to be charging for licenses, and that's how they're going to generate the money to fund this?
Again, for the record, Sylvan Robb, through the chair to Representative Colomb. That is correct. That is how we generate all of our revenue, is through the fees that we charge to licensees. And so what you see on the fiscal note would be generated by the fees that genetic counselors paid for those licenses.
Okay, and a follow-up?
Follow-up.
And so why is there so much money to travel? Is it the intent the advisory board all travel to one place? It's $37,000 for travel.
Through the chair to Representative Colomb, many of our boards, let me back up one step, currently Administrative Order 358 remains in effect, which does impose a travel freeze, so our boards have not been meeting in person. Our fiscal notes are just requesting authority to spend any receipts that we might generate, so in the event that the Administrative Order 358 was rescinded and boards resumed meeting in person, then we do need the authority to spend that money so that those members could have an in-person meeting.
And so follow-up through the chair. So if, let's say, it didn't get rescinded and you didn't need that 37, this is allowing the department to use up to 37,000.
Through the chair to Representative Colomb, that's correct. So in the event that no travel occurred, then no funds would be spent on travel, and this authority would not be used. So, you know, our authority would be up here, and our actuals would be below that.
Right. And a follow-up? So, but can it be used in a different way with the department, or?
Through the chair to Representative Colomb, our authority, we don't track by program, but expenses we track very closely to ensure that licensees are only paying for the costs associated with their own program.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And I believe Co-Chair Fields has a comment as well.
Yeah, through the chair, Ms. Robb, I was curious, would deleting the authority to do travel be sufficient to zero out the fiscal note, or are there ways to make the fiscal note either fully DGF or just zero, just in the interest of maximizing likelihood of getting licensure, getting started? Maybe we could revisit the cost side later. Just wanted to explore that.
Yeah, through the chair to co-chair Fields, the entire fiscal note is DGF. It's all funded through receipt-supported services.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't receive any UGF.
Okay.
Follow up.
If we eliminated travel, would it just be zero?
Through the chair to co-chair Fields, there will be expenses. There will need to be regulations promulgated related to genetic counselors. Additionally, we'll need to pay for public noticing of meetings. Okay. So there are always a handful of expenses.
Okay.
Were you done?
I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Colomb,
through the chair. So you're expecting $62,000 in receipts. That seems like a pretty expensive license for seven people. Are you anticipating a lot of out-of-state people wanting to get licensed? Or
I believe Co-Chair Fields has a comment or an answer there.
Yeah, through the chair, I think the counselors testified at the prior meeting that there are dozens and potentially hundreds of people from out of state who might get licensed. So I think in their math, they see it as being pretty affordable and more than justifying the ability to have licensure in a sustainable billing model.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Additional questions from the committee? Not seeing any. Thank you very much, Director Robb. Thank you, Ms. Finchin. Not seeing any more questions, I will now open public testimony. Is there anybody in the room who would like to testify? Not seeing any, and I'm also not seeing any public testifiers online. That will conclude public testimony. We will hold this bill over and discuss it again at a later date. Please note, we are setting an amendment deadline for HB 293 for Monday, February 16th at 5 p.m. That concludes our business for today. The House Labor and Commerce Committee will meet next on Monday, February 16th at 3:15 p.m. This meeting is adjourned at 4:33 p.m.